chain, stain on chain, off chain, go! Streaming size, push the ground, make they really wanna build a node.
Oh yeah, I keep doing it. I keep doing it, and I don't know if it's working or not, but it people are building nodes, turns out.
Yes.
As you heard on the latest Grumpy Old Bens, which played on the live stream on Sunday. I had the live stream going like from No Agenda Live just to all day, like when I fell asleep. I went to bed and like kept it playing. So Monday when I had to go for work, I had to turn it off. It was still going because I didn't realize. But I just had a marathon. Sometimes I do a little marathon sesh on the NA stream and caught some really great shows. Some for the second time, like the Abs in a Six Pack one. I heard that the second time around. I heard the Rare Encounter the second time around on Sunday. So,
nice.
So nice you hear it twice sometimes playing on the NA stream. And I also heard a fabulous Grumpy Old Bens where right out of the gate in the first part of the show is Darren lamenting about the umbral growing pains.
Mm-hmm.
Learning how to build a node. And I was so stoked. I love hearing people talk about the actual reasons why node operation can be painful, because it means they're in the car driving and they're figuring it out. And I also really loved Sir Bimrose's reaction to it all, because he was like, I think he felt a lot of the same things.
Yeah.
He was amused. He was into it. He was like, well, yeah, you're not wrong. Keep going. And that's what I say to everybody too. Yeah, I'm not going to pretend like it's painless. I'm not going to pretend like it's falling off a log easy, but the experience and what you get out of it, if you stick with it, is important enough that it's worth all of the pain that you might have in the short term temporarily. He did admit that it was just super easy to actually install. Like, people always want to like a one click install. Umbral and, it's the same thing, actually, with Start 9. Both of those are just silly easy to install. So it's a matter of getting the equipment, which the equipment consists of just about any computer. You know, granted, it's got to be an x86 CPU, but don't fret. It's like well over 90% of the machines available are that. Most of them are that. So if you got a weird machine for a weird reason, or if it's super old, then maybe not quite as common, but like everything, if you go out and get something in the last 5-10 years, it's pretty much going to be that, with a few exceptions. And then you need a hard drive, an SSD. 1 terabyte will still get it done now and maybe for a couple years, but if you really want to future-proof it, might as well go for a 2 terabyte solid-state drive, just a little external drive, to store the data of the blockchain on. And then what do you got at the end? Well, you have a fully sovereign bank and payment processor that runs on your computer that you're in charge of. So you don't have to go to a bank teller. You don't have to wait for withdrawals. You don't have to ask for permission. You don't have to answer any questions. None of that shit. It's all like you can receive that. The sound you just heard, right? I'm just sitting here talking about the shit stain. Okay. That is all running now. I did have to work to set it up. Yes. But once that work was done, now what happens is people can boost the show in real time, like A Joint just did.
Yeah, A Joint.
A Joint runs his own node, and so he can boost from Boost CLI in the command line interface, like a true Uber nerd, okay? And he looks like a Russian hacker, but really what he's just doing is sending a little boost. It's actually not that involved. You can impress your friends. You can look like a fucking wizard with not really actually having to dive into the ocean. It seems that way. It looks like that way. It's a grand illusion. He boosted us 33,333 sats just now, by the way.
Hell yeah. Thank you.
What did it do? It made a disco ball light up.
What did it do?
In my basement. I'm talking like, it's hard. Like, I think someday this kind of stuff's going to be taken for granted. But right now, it's like internet magic is what is taking place right now. It's occurring right now in real time with some minimal effort and some minimal upfront fundage. And I'm not talking about upfront fundages and buying a bunch of Bitcoin that you have to lock up. So I want to address that point. But he said, "Heh, this is all. We love this show." Well, thank you.
Aw, we love you.
Appreciate you. Much love, A Joint. So a couple of common kind of misconceptions, I guess, I want to talk about. And they were discussed. I think Ryan did a fantastic job at addressing concerns and kind of talking this out too. One of the most common kind of worries or breaks that somebody who finally says, okay, I'll fucking make the node, right? And they get it set up. They get to this point where they install one of the Lightning Node implementations. I'd say the most popular three by far would be Start9OS, the Umbral server, and Raspi Blitz, which is what I run. Umbral is what you have, which we've talked about, kind of trying to drag that out from the grave.
More later.
We set that up, and then we get to this point where we get the Bitcoin node, okay? The Bitcoin node running. That is the kind of old school layer one Bitcoin node, which acts as the back end to your wallet. So if you have a Bitcoin wallet and you're sending a Bitcoin transaction on layer one, that's the kind that takes 10 minutes to, on average, to confirm a payment. And it's associated, especially right now since the halving, with some pretty high fees, which we'll also talk about just briefly. So you get the Bitcoin layer one. That's the thing that takes a few days to sync on most machines. Okay, so a couple of days, a couple of 3 days go by, you're synced up. You say, oh shit, yeah, now I can open up my Lightning node. That's a layer two, right? So implying you've got to set the foundation of the layer one Bitcoin blockchain, the Bitcoin network. And then on top of that, you can open up a Lightning node. There's a few different implementations, but most of the podcasting 2.0 action is on LND. And so you install your LND node, and then you can't do shit. And you can't do shit because you don't have any channels. And so then you have to learn about what channels are, and then people start getting, really misled, I think, led astray, because Darren made a fantastic point that is still true to this day. It's very hard to find good information on what the fuck a channel is and how to open it well and how to open it intelligently. And to break it down for you, HR Puffin stuff style, because I'm old school. When you open a channel, I always like to think of it as an abacus bar, okay, like an abacus stick, and you're holding one end of that stick and you give the other end of that stick to another node on the Lightning network. And then on that stick, you put a bunch of beads. Those beads are Satoshis, sats, pieces of Bitcoin. In the current fee environment, the bigger the channel, the more cost-effective, let's say, it is to open that channel up. Because when you open a channel up, you are sending a layer one transaction. You're sending a Bitcoin transaction, and you're essentially locking up this Bitcoin. Now, I heard the word staking a lot on Grumpy Old Bins. I guess you could kind of like call this ant fucking, but it's really not staking. Okay. These funds are locked up, but it's not for the purpose of trying to generate some kind of APY yield or make a percentage profit or pencil push in any way, right? What we're saying is it's way more akin to opening a bar tab on this abacus rod to the next node. And I'm going to say, let's just keep it simple. 1 million sat channel. I've got 1 million sats. I put them all on this abacus rod, and then I give the empty end to another node on the Lightning network. And I say, okay, now what I've done is I've opened a channel to you, sir. That's an agreement between my node and your node to keep this bar tab open. And since there's 1 million sats on my end of the abacus bar and no sats on the end of yours, then where physically can I move those sats? Well, all 1 million potentially could go over across the bar to you, the other node that I opened to. No sats can come to me because there's no sats on your end, right? So that is perfectly unbalanced channel, which by default is how channels open. If you're a podcaster, if you're a musician, if you're a merchant and you're selling shit, what you need is inbound liquidity, which means I need the empty side of the rod. I need some other guy to open a channel to me and say, hey, I'm going to lock up some liquidity and give you the empty side of the rod. If I open a 1 million sat channel to a podcaster, I give them inbound liquidity. I don't pay them 1 million sats. I don't pay them a percentage of 1 million sats. All of those 1 million sats are still mine sats. They're all mine. But I say now you have the potential to receive them if I or anyone else on the network connected to me wants to send them to you, now they can flow to you. Now you have the potential to receive. Now you have what we call inbound liquidity. When you're first starting out, what I really like to push are the rings of fire. And I talk about these a lot and I try to kind of get the pitch down, but these things are tough, you know? It's the whole purpose of the cocaine shit stain, right? It's word salad until you're initiated. So I just try to say the words again and again and explain a little bit of what they mean. But I know that I'm losing people as well, so I try to just keep it brief. The rings of fire are a channel opening strategy because we kind of saw a problem with the abacus, right? If I'm just unilaterally opening a channel, if I'm just one guy opening a channel to somebody else, that means I'm going to have, by default, a perfectly unbalanced channel, which is great if I just need to send some sats his way. But what if I want to receive? Well, if I want to receive and that's all I care about, I'm going to need to ask other people to open up to me, especially if I don't have any sats to start off with. Now, here's another common misconception, that you have to have a bunch of Bitcoin, that you have to have a bunch of skin in the game, or you can't run a channel because you can't have, or you can't run a node because you can't have channels. Not true. You can have no Bitcoin on your node and have other people open channels to you to get started.
Yeah.
Give me some inbound liquidity. And for that, I don't even really need to start off with any Bitcoin at all. I just need people to open channels to me so I can receive. And that's the deal. But the perfect kind of balanced world, in this world where a lot of us are sending boostograms and sometimes we want to send some stuff out, what you'd want to do is join a ring of fire, the channel opening strategy, where a group of us, I try to aim for 6 people in every ring, a group of us open in a circle to one another some new channels. Let's stick with our 1 million sat channel example from before. Guy 1 opens to guy 2, a 1 million sat channel. 2 opens to 3, and so on, all the way around the circle. Until finally, the last guy opens back to the first guy. You've got a complete circle. Everybody's holding all 1 million sats on their abacus bead. And then one guy, doesn't matter who, they'll send a payment to themselves around that new circle and for half of the total capacity of that channel. So in this case, in our example, 500,000 sats, 500,000 satoshis. I send an invoice, I pay an invoice to myself and I route it through those new channels, which means I push half of my sats that way to guy two. Guy two pushes half of his to guy three. Boom, 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 all the way till it gets back to me. Right? Those sats come back to me. I just paid myself. Ideally, you lower your fees to nothing while you do this. It's not really that necessary. You can coordinate later. Hey, you know, you hit me with a 2,000 sat fee. Usually I just boost it to the bowl, whatever. It's all right. It's like part of doing the ring of fire. It's not, you won't see me salty about a 2,000 sat fee setting up a ring of fire. But what you get then at the end is that same scenario that we started with of opening a million sat channel to somebody. But what you end up with is somebody also opened a million sats to you and somebody balanced all of those channels at the beginning. So you get 2 1 million sat capacity channels. You only paid for one of them. They're both perfectly balanced and you still have the 1 million sats you started with. Okay, they're just on this channel and this channel. So everybody still has their money. Nobody has to pay anything. Other than the one thing you pay for is just the network transaction on the Bitcoin blockchain, the same as you would pay to send any other regular layer one Bitcoin transaction. So that depends on the fee environment at the time. Let's roll into this concept. I usually like to check fees at mempool.space, so there's a lot of different places that you can check. And since the halving, there has been a massive surge again in NFT fagging on the blockchain. There's even a new way to do it called runes from the same retard that made ordinals. And I've said my piece on this. I think it's a money black hole. I don't think it's sustainable. I don't think it can last forever. But it does significantly shit up the layer one traffic and drive fees up. So currently, at minimum, if you're in a big hairy rush and you got to get confirmed in the next block on layer one, you got to pay at least 200 sats per virtual byte.
Oof.
It's a fee that's calculated by taking that sats per virtual byte and multiplying it by however many virtual bytes of data your transaction takes up. So in this environment, I don't know, you probably are paying probably in the tens of thousands of sats for a fee. And this doesn't matter if you send a big transaction or a small transaction, right? It matters how much data your transaction holds. The amount of Bitcoin you're sending is just a number. So it's not like it's taking up a bunch of data. So if I'm sending 5 million sats on layer one, or if I'm sending 5,000 sats on layer one, the fee is going to be probably the same.
Hmm.
And so if I'm sending 5,000 sats, the fee is going to be more than what I'm sending. Silly. You're not going to do it.
Right.
This is the whole purpose of the Lightning Network. Once these channels are opened, it doesn't cost to push the advocacy beads around, and it doesn't take that 10-minute block time confirmation. You're jumping around on people who have already locked their Bitcoin up into these channels so that it is more mobile, cheaper. It's crucial to get in on this network, and you can see why right now with the fee environment the way it is. If you have already got in and have channels, it doesn't take many. I think I have like 7 or 8 right now. Some of those are a year old. Okay. So it's not like it's impossible to keep channels open. That's another misconception, that channels force close all the time. Force closes do happen. Okay. But they don't massively wipe you out. Especially if you have a lower time preference and you just chill the fuck out, they will confirm eventually. If you panic and you just need them, you're just like, oh, I need the sats. I need the sats. The sats are pending. The sats are pending. Ah, it's all right. They're pending and they'll stay pending. Like, it'll be there. The shit will be there. It can be there for a long time. It'll be there for a silly long time. It's all good. Most of Lightning node running gets easier if you relax and just take your time and say, well, you know, I don't quite understand this, but I'll fucking figure it out eventually. Panicking is what can cost you some money. Okay? If you start panicking, start sending more money around, start fee bumping and going crazy, like, you, do you really need that right this second? And for what? What for? So that's another kind of trap people fall into. If you're in and you have a node and it's running, then shitcoining on layer one won't affect you because you can still make Lightning transactions. These boosts that come in as they're sent. You know, it takes a minute if your machine is running slow and trying to put the payment together. It takes seconds in normal circumstances. So that's the whole point. That's why we really want to build a node, because layer one is not going to be navigable forever. I hear a lot of discussions about layer twos and then layer threes and then layer fours and then layer 69. And like how, you know, we're going to just keep getting pushed out layer by layer. And I don't think that really has to be the case, at least not in the short term, not enough to like really worry about. If there's any actionable takeaway from this idea that we're going to be pushed away from layer one, it should be to get ahead and into that layer one and into the layer two now. Before it's impossible, the impossibility of this, the whole, oh, well, normal people won't be holding layer one. That'll just be like nation states and maybe huge corporations. Fuck that. First of all, I'm going to hold layer one for the fucking longest. Forever. Hey, till I'm dead, I'll be on layer one. Because that's what is real. That's what is secured by the worldwide computer known as the Bitcoin network. Why would I get off layer one? Oh, because of the plebs. Fuck, dude. This is your ticket out of being a pleb. So fuck whatever people have to be resigned to in 100 years. I don't give a shit. I'm in now, right? That's the whole point of getting in now. It's the whole point of establishing channels now with nodes that have learned what they're doing, and you can get a channel or two that stay alive for a year, right? And that aren't going anywhere. And then you have a lifeline. Then you have the ability to send this and receive this. Then you can listen to old men on the TV saying that the medium of exchange part of Bitcoin is a distraction, and you can laugh at them because you can use it as a medium of exchange. You can use it as a value exchange in real time for cheap. You can laugh in the face of the fees. You can be immune to all of that. Why you wouldn't be running a node, why you're running to the third and fourth layer when we don't need it yet is beyond me. It's like a race to be the future pleb. You don't need to be the future pleb is the thing. Like, you can escape that. You can have a fucking bank and payment processor in your basement for a couple $100. I don't know. I don't know what else would make you really want to build a node other than fucking front running the entire financial corruption all around us. So anyway, to wrap it all up with a bow, I'm super stoked to hear Darren feeling those pains because it means he's in it. It means he's learning it. And I sympathize with all of it, you know? Ryan said, you sound like me a couple years ago when I was getting my up and running. And that's beautiful, you know? It's like, do a little bit of what you can. None of us are fucking superheroes, but just with a few channels, we can be fee-proof. We can receive boostograms no matter what time of the day it is, no matter who else's fucking service goes down. Doesn't matter. We can still run ours. And that's the beauty of decentralized, permissionless Lightning node running. You gotta love it.
Hell yeah. Yeah, Darren's got Umbral-specific woes too, which I totally feel, because he had reached out to me on the Fetty, like, so, hooked the Umbral up, now I'm having some network issues. Is this something you ran into? And I'm like, oh yeah. And of course, I know nothing about networking, so what was my fix for that? I moved my Umbral to a different location in the house.
Yeah, just unplug it from here.
Unplug it, and put it in a different spot, and then I was good. But the networking issues were so weird. There were certain sites that could not be accessed, and yeah, certain like, sites that could.
You'd go to, I don't know, like...
It was mainstream news. It was like Associated Press.
Right.
Cannot access. Permission denied. I don't know what it said, but it was stupid. And so you and I were just like, well, what's changed? What's changed? I don't know. Umbral update? Oh.
Yeah.
Weird.
Blueberry has a drop.
Ooh.
That he dropped in the...
Blueberry, drop the drop.
In the chat. I'm just interested.
I prefer conspiracy nudes, but that's to each his own.
Oh, hell yeah.
Conspiracy nudes. Hey, you know.
Yeah.
We'll do whatever turns you on.
All right, I'll do it. Whatever turns you on.
Yeah, Darren put his Umbral behind a switch.
A managed switch, yeah.
Yep, and that's probably going to work. Probably going to do the trick.
Yeah, I know so the precious funny thing little about networking in general. That
too, though, is he was complaining about, you know, if you go on to the Umbral site in the forum to look for help, it's like there's not that many people with the same complaint.
Yeah.
And it's, for me, it's really just because I did what Darren did. Like, I just reach out to people I know who have a little node running experience, or I go straight to Darth Coin's write-ups, and I just look up Darth Coin tutorials and answers, and I just follow what he says. But yeah, I was working on my node this weekend.
Yeah.
I sunk in a solid couple hours.
Oh, I think we have something for that.
Yeah.
I'm fixing the node when my sat's coming. Get my treasure traveling where it will go.
Yeah, and so I was in there, and I know nothing of Docker, but I realized that with my issues, I need to get under the hood. Mm-hmm. I got to SSH in, which... in the Umbral community is kind of a last resort. It's like, you can really screw everything up here. Okay, well, everything's already screwed up on this node, so I might as well just get under the hood and try and figure it out. And I reached out to Eric PP because the most frustrating thing happening right now, or not happening really, with my node is that although I have two greatly balanced channels thanks to a ring of fire that occurred, perfectly balanced, really.
Mm.
My Umbral will not receive boostograms. Hmm. It cannot receive. For nothing is going to it. It just times out.
Yeah.
I test boosted. Nothing is coming in. And so I've been trying to get Helipad back on my node. And when I click on it, it'll say that it's building the database. But it'll say that forever.
Right.
So I thought, okay... You know, maybe a boost didn't come in yet. I'll boost it now to test it out. That doesn't jiggle the handle. So then I'm like, I got to reach out to Eric PP. He's the guy. He'll know how to get in here and look under the hood for the helipad section of things, at least.
Yeah.
And he was kind enough to give me different commands and go back and forth with me to see what was going on. And the key sends aren't sending. So the answer is nothing is going on.
It's wild because you can't even see the previous invoices that you had before.
I know.
And I wonder...
There is a file in there, though, that says 2022.
I wonder if we just need to, like, wipe and re-index the entire L&D database, if there's even a way to do that.
I'm kind of at the point in this Umbral journey...
You know what Darth Coin would say.
Darth Coin says, And why are you attached to this node? Why are you hanging on to this node? Mm-hmm. You know, it sounds like it's time to just build a new node.
I see. I've seen plenty of posts from him about questions about restoring nodes that died, where he's basically like, why you cannot get all coins on chain and build new node fresh
and of
that
course,
is not fucked?
The answer right now is the fee environment. I'm not willing to close these channels and put my coins back on chain at the moment.
It's a nice wait and see kind of thing.
I would love to, and this is what, my third year using an Umbral?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So 3 years in. Yeah, that's a decent life. That's a good, decent run for someone with no node running experience, I suppose. My Umbral was great. It was so well balanced. It was beautiful. Everything worked for 2 solid years, and I was really proud. And then I was also like, but I'm not learning when I don't have any problems. And then the problems came sweeping in. Stupid me. Should never have thought that. Thought it was too easy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the networking thing sucked. But yeah, so here I am. I'm thinking about building an empty node, you know, and then just doing the ask. If you get value out of my productions out there, maybe you can open a channel to me. It'll be unbalanced, but eventually, you know, once the fees go down, move my sats over.
Yeah, I think that's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea at all.
Yeah, so c'est la vie,
that's the thing, man. Like, once you're in and you're trying stuff, like, you have options. And that's the most important part in the whole kind of times that we live in or whatever. You can say whatever you want, right? Like, always the most fucked up time is probably right now, because you're looking around and you're observing right now. And you don't really know what the future holds. Nobody ever has known what the future holds. But this is one of those ways where now you've got some options. Now you've got some options. If you're just sitting around with your dick in your hand on somebody else's wallet, run on somebody else's node, you don't have options. You're just on their bus. And you have to stop at all of their stops. And you have to get off when they kick you off. You got no fucking freedom. You got no choices. At least with your own node, you're in there driving around. You can pull over and get gas when you need. You can take it to the mechanic. You can ignore the clunky sound and keep driving down the highway. Like, you're in control. And that's the beauty of it.
Oh, yeah. BYOB. Be your own bank.
There you go. I'm just going to blow over some quick headlines because I know I've taken up a lot of oxygen here. Some good news here. Craig Wright discontinues Tulip trading case in a major win for Bitcoin developers.
All
right. He got so blown the fuck out by the ultimate decision in that UK lawsuit known as the identity trial, where a judge ruled that he's definitely 100% no way fucking Jose is he Satoshi Nakamoto in this or any other universe. Like, we are all Satoshi except Craig Wright, basically, now is the official ruling.
Yeah.
So the Tulip trading case had some implications, not just for the Bitcoin network, but for open source software more broadly, because the outcome could have set a precedent for whether developers could be held liable for their contributions to open source projects, according to BitcoinDefense.org. And so this discontinuance is basically he's seen the writing on the wall, he's backsliding, he's running out of this money that he's been fucking abusing people with for years. And he's just got nothing. The whole house of cards is tumbling down. So, fuck Craig Wright. Moving on. U.S. government rejects call to end Assange case, unfortunately.
Ugh, no.
This is actually last week that this came out, last Thursday. We heard that they've submitted a non-assurances for extradition. So rather than drop charges or seek a plea deal, the U.S. government will keep fighting to put the WikiLeaks founder on trial.
Of course.
The U.S. State Department provided a diplomatic note to the Crown Prosecution Service, the CPS.
The Crown Prosecution Service.
What a fucking stuffy outfit that must be. That contained assurances related to the First Amendment and the risk of the death penalty, which were issues raised by Assange's legal team. Assange will not be prejudiced by reason of nationality with respect to which defenses he may seek to raise at trial and at sentencing, according to this U.S. embassy in London. Specifically, they said, if extradited, Assange will have the ability to raise and seek to rely upon at trial The rights and protections given under the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. So he will have a shot to try. It's like, it's not very clear language. Surprise.
Because he, as a non-American citizen.
Yeah, it's basically like.
Not granted First Amendment rights.
You can try it. You can tell that to the judge. We'll see what happens, but no assurances. No assurances that they won't. No assurances that they will give him First Amendment protections. No assurances that they won't kill the guy.
Right. Yeah, I hate that.
No assurances of dropping charges or plea dealing into anything.
What bugs me most about this is that people pine for objective journalism.
Right.
And I feel that Assange was a truly objective journalist by simply posting documents. Here, you read it. You decipher it. You decide what you think about what these elected officials are doing all around the world.
Yeah. He's in his fifth year now at London's Belmarsh High Security Jail, currently facing 17 charges under the fucking Espionage Act.
Yeah, which it doesn't make sense since he's not an American citizen.
And one for conspiracy to commit computer intrusion.
Right. When the password is password.
You gotta love it.
I hate it.
Bunch of basically just kind of unclear language, weasel words type of stuff, and no clarity, no assurances, no nothing. So that's not the greatest news.
Mm-mm.
Two more here. One, Brains Pool Lightning payouts now available to all users. Heyo, so if you just run in a regular little pleb version S9 miner and Brains Pool, you can make Lightning withdrawals, which is nice because there's no minimum now. Because like we were talking about earlier, over the Lightning Network, you're not paying fees, you're not waiting for block confirmation, so you can just pull sats out. I wish more companies would look into getting on the Lightning Network and not having to deal with layer one chains, on-chain fees. Because if everybody did this, like if all these payments pulled out of layer one and had some kind of Lightning situation, like layer one could really clear up. Layer one could be nice and comfy if people would just figure out Lightning. Like, imagine using the Fold card and you get the little dumbass rewards finally stacked up to the minimum to withdraw, which is 50,000 sats. And then you make an on-chain transaction in this fucking fee environment for 50,000 sats. Are you shitting me?
No, you're shitting yourself.
You're shitting yourself, my friend. And then Fold is paying that fee on-chain for those shits. Really? You could just be lightninging all of that shit. You could be lightning transacting all that shit. You got to do that. Got to do that. We got some pin action.
Woo!
We always break for pins when we realize that they happen. 6969 came in from Booberry, by the way.
All right.
69, dudes!
Yay! Boosting from, of course, Boost CLI. He says, empty side of the rod, doing it for the disco ball boost. There you go. Open channels to Booberry. Fill that rod. 8008 next up. A boob boost from a joint. Also out of Boost CLI. He said, hit them pins.
Hell yeah.
Appreciate you, fellas.
Thanks, boobs. Thanks, a joint.
So, I don't know. If Brains is just getting in on the action now, then you know we're early. But every company that sends any payments smaller than a million sats, I'll say it. If you're sending payments smaller than a million sats, then get that shit into layer two. Stop overpaying and overweighting and clogging things up. If everybody did it, layer one would become a breeze. Layer one would become a breeze. The kind of shit, the kind of absurd shit I see go down on the blockchain and the kind of fees people pay, it's super expensive to shitcoin around to mint some kind of retarded pretend rare Satoshi. When a Satoshi is a Satoshi, my man. Like, I'm sorry, but Satoshis are just Satoshis. It's a fungible situation, right? Like, I can paint on a dollar bill, but it's still worth a dollar. And actually, you could argue it's not even worth that. But you could also, you know, be a guy that likes to sniff his own farts out of a wine glass and say that it's now a priceless work of art. Like, that's the thing about art. There's subjectivity there. But lots of retards are losing lots of Bitcoin right now playing dumb games for dumb prizes on layer one when people could be following this Brains move here.
That's right.
That's what I say.
Absolutely.
And finally, OpenSats receives $1 million donation from the Reynolds Foundation. Whoa. Congrats, fellas. Congrats, fellas. This reminds me a bit of the previous reward that, or donation, let's say, that we talked about. Was it one or two shit stains ago that BTC yeah. Pay server got $500,000 from the
Tether?
The Tether fellows, yeah. Right? Now, I don't know who the fuck Reynolds Foundation is. I haven't heard of them ever. If you click on the link included in the press release, it goes to some landing page that doesn't really answer any other questions either, other than their, I don't want to say the wrong thing, but I wanted to say Costa Rica. Now I have to relook at it. And it's not even clear that the customer, or it's not even clear that the foundation is Costa Rican, but that's Lyft brand has a USA and a Costa Rica phone number. And that's just who put the website together. And by website, I really do mean a landing page. You can scroll and look at some buzzwords. It's not super clear. I haven't dug into it.
There's several The Reynolds Foundations, though. Like, I clicked this on one, and it looks like an art space.
This one is at reynoldsfoundation.com. There's a link in the chat. Thank you, A-Joint. I don't know these guys. I don't know if they're good or bad. But I talked about Tether last time. Tether's some shitcoining shady guys, and I don't hold Tether, and I never would buy Tether, use Tether. But if they're going to give $500,000 to BTC Pay server, BTC Pay server needs $500,000. And if the Reynolds Foundation is going to give $1 million to OpenSats, those are some guys that I trust will do the right thing with the money, right?
Yeah.
So there has to be some kind of, I know that people get up in arms anytime a big number comes into developers, because then it's like, well, the developers are being bought. And there's unfortunately just a bunch of gray area in here. You know, we're value for value. And that's sort of what's going on here with OpenSats as well. It's like, you know, they're asking people to contribute to Bitcoin development. And so when people step forward and do in a big way, you know, there's protocols in place that say just because, you know, you're stepping forward and giving grants, you don't have control over this money. You know, Gigi is one of the guys that runs OpenSats, very involved in OpenSats. And so... they're also giving long-term support to our boy Hazard.
Yeah, they are.
And they're allowing people, developers, to get out from under their full-time job and start developing on Bitcoin projects that they actually care about. And you can't just do that for no money, because then you'll be homeless in like 4 weeks. So I get that we should be definitely scrutinizing every single thing all the time. And I'm one of those guys that's in there and watching and seeing something when I'm, or saying something when I'm seeing something, if you know what I'm saying. I don't even know what I'm saying.
Are you saying, if you see something, say something?
That's right. You just try to always be doing smell tests, okay? But I've talked about this also before, in that any purity test that is rigid enough will fail, okay? Any purity test that's rigid enough will fail. The $1 million donations was $1 million. Okay? Fuck that. Fuck that. Why don't they pay them in Bitcoin?
Right.
Instead of dollars. Like, we can ant fuck all the way to next Tuesday, but the truth and the facts are that these developers need to fucking put food on the table. And with $1 million, now there's a bunch of money that can go to open source projects, which are built in the open, that are allowed to be scrutinized, that everybody can watch what happens, audit the code, watch these developers get in and even contribute and help with what they're doing. And now that, you know, they have more time to be able to devote, because they're not sucked into some... soul-sucking 40-hour week situation, and then, you know, you get home and you don't want to fucking work on personal projects. So I see this overall as a net victory, with the caveat that, yes, of course, we got to keep an eye on it. A lot of people are trying to burn bridges and shit and throw poop at the walls of OpenSats, and I think that's absurd. I think their track record begs for some more grace than that. Jesus Christ. That's all.
Yeah, I'd agree.
That's all. That's all. So good on OpenSats. I hope to see them be able to fund devs for the very long term, for years and years. Because we've got a situation here in Lightning where it's not the easiest, it's not the most reliable, and it could be a fuck of a lot better if we had more developers that were paid to work on it as their full-time jobs. And it can still be open source. It can still be like, hey, here's the fucking code. Here's everything. Here's everything I've done. Here's every line. You know, we can still keep an eye on it. It can be this reasonable dance between people.
But
that's all I'm
requires,
saying.
Requires donations. Value for value.
Requires some people putting money in the tank. And unfortunately, you know, I as the fucking nice, pure, good fucking pleb and also broke as shit. I don't have a bunch of money. I don't have $1 million check to write to fucking OpenSats. I can't make things happen for people. I can't make things happen for myself in that way, you know? If I could develop on Bitcoin, I'd fucking try and do it. But this is not, you know, that's not where I am right now. So I'm proud of Hazard because he set out a goal to work in Bitcoin. Now he's doing it. You know, he's doing it in an open source way in a project that he made that's his baby and that he has creative control over. That's also being built out in the wide open in front of everybody's fucking eyes in the world. Who cares to look? So that's the way it should go. And I think this is a good move.
Hell yeah. The Nostriches are hype on Blossom.
Blossom looks sick. I'm so happy to do a deep dive on that on Friday.
Me too. Every time I talk about podcasting 2.0 and how much I love Boostergrams, people on Nostr are like, yeah, but you know, this will be better when it's on Blossom. I'm like, okay. All right. I too am excited about Blossom, but
the thing people get lost on the sauce about with the podcasting 2.0 shit over there is they just want to like, they want Nostr to beat it, and it's like, bro, just...
It's not a competition.
Take the shit and relay it. Nostr is for relaying shit, so just relay this motherfucking RSS feed before I slap you.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, just grab it and send it to everybody else. All the shit is there. There's no need to tear it all down and build from fucking scratch. Yeah. It's already built. Just relay the shit. Just repeat what I just said here in this fucking feed.
Yeah, that's what I was...
Just say it again. I already said it. Take it. Fucking relay it. End of story.
I was lamenting to Chad F about that. I said, why do they want to reinvent the wheel?
Because they just get these blinders on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Get these little blinders. He's like, oh, I can only see
they
this
only know
world.
What they know, and they don't have experience in the podcasting 2.0 environment. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of them, when they take a minute to check it out, they're like, oh, wow, this is great. Yeah.
They want to bitch about how does this scale, and then they also want to rebuild every motherfucking thing that exists. It's like, well, how does that scale? We have shit.
Yeah,
just use this shit, put it in Nostr, it goes in Nostr. Look, I've got an XML file, says a Nostr relay. Look, I got an MP3, says a Nostr relay. And I think that's what Blossom could be. I'm really fucking bullish on this being the answer of what I've been looking for, and I kind of feel like some of these conversations I've been having over time with Hazard have been kind of putting
fermenting.
This bug in his mind of like, yeah, this is something that we need. This is where the energy is. This is what the protocol can actually do for us. Like, all of this shit already exists. People are already using it. People are already doing it. Let's go.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited for Friday. Tune in. 8 p.m. Central?
Yes. We will learn more.
Live in the bowl.
This Friday is a Bitcoin and coffee meetup at Take Care in the Crossroads again, 7:30 a.m. I will, of course, be indisposed, so I won't be making that one. But I will be at the next... Beers with Bitcoiners on the 30th. That is a week from tonight. So I'll do a quick little hey elbow bump and then come do the show and have a full breakdown of what went down for you.
We now conclude our scheduled broadcasts for today. Thank you for joining us, and be sure to be with us again tomorrow. Good night.